Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21, as we go back to the Word of God and looking at the parables of Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, "Then came Peter to him," to him is Jesus, "and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee, unto seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take accounts of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonderful day that you've given us. And Lord, we give this service now to you. Holy Spirit of God, speak and use me tonight as you only can. And I pray I yield myself to you now. Thank you, Lord, for this study. Thank you for the parables. Thank you for the Word of God that we have, that we can study it, memorize it, meditate upon it, dig into it, Lord, and see your truth and then apply them to our hearts and lives. I pray now that you be with us. Bless and be with all these prayer requests tonight. Those that are sick and unable to be here, be with them. Those that are watching through live stream and Ustream and through the YouTube services, be with all of them tonight, Lord. Give them a blessing, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The great C.S. Lewis wrote, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have to forgive, something to forgive." Oh, how true that is. When it comes to us thinking about someone forgiving us, that's a great idea. When we come to the idea of us having to forgive someone, that's not such a great idea. Sometimes that stirs up the subject of forgiveness, anger, or resentment, because we say, we do not want to forgive them. You do not know what they did to me. No, but the Lord does. And He asks us to forgive. Tonight, as we continue our study of looking at the parables of Jesus Christ, can't hard to believe we're already in the ninth week of this study. And as we've progressed through these studies, seeing the kingdom of heaven is like unto. We have seen great things that Jesus has compared the kingdom of heaven to, and it's shown us some things that I pray that we have applied to our hearts and lives. For these are the words of Jesus. No greater words can we take from His lessons than to apply to our hearts and lives. So tonight, as we come back to this study, and we look at the parables again of Jesus, tonight we come to this familiar parable, the parable of the unforgiving servant. But really the lesson, each parable, remember, each parable has a central lesson for us to learn. And this lesson tonight is a hard lesson. It's a hard lesson for humans. It's a hard lesson for human beings. It's a hard lesson for Christians. The lesson tonight in this parable is the lesson of forgiveness. Oh, has someone wronged you? Has someone hurt you in the past? Have you been the one that's hurting someone else? Forgiveness is often a difficult thing because it means that something has been done to us or someone we love. Something that is wrong, something that is hurtful, something that we didn't deserve. And in some cases, something we never thought would happen to us or to our loved ones. Forgiveness is a hard subject. But Jesus' teachings on the subject of forgiveness reveal the deep importance of forgiving those who have wronged us or our loved ones. As we approach this parable tonight, we are being presented with the necessity of forgiving others in order to have a right relationship with our Lord. We must forgive others to have that right relationship with God. So as we begin tonight's study with Peter, we begin with a question. It's a question from Peter to Jesus, and he's asking about the law of forgiveness. Peter knew that forgiveness was a characteristic of God and was to be exemplified in the lives of God's children. Peter also knew that the Pharisees demanded forgiveness as an evidence of personal righteousness. The Pharisees even went to the extreme of saying it's required that one forgive the offender two times. The Pharisees said, you must forgive, and you must forgive those that have offended you twice. Peter, perhaps recalling that Christ had said back in Matthew 5 and verse 39, whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That would be twice forgiveness, would it not? It would seem as though Christ's requirement, though, was in Peter's mind the same as the Pharisees. Forgive twice. The Pharisees, though, even added that if one wanted to go beyond what was required by the Pharisaic interpretation of the law, one could forgive three times. Wasn't that nice? Isn't that generous? But that's going above and beyond. Remember Pastor's message the other day? Going above and beyond. The Pharisee said, well, you can forgive three times that one that's offended you. The Pharisees say three times, and Peter comes to Christ and says, how oft, Lord, shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter no doubt recalled that Christ had demanded that their righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees back in Matthew 5 and verse 20. So he's saying to himself, you know, Peter, that thinker, sometimes his mouth goes before his mind, but he steps his foot in it sometimes. But he's saying, Lord, should we go seven times? Boy, that's exceeding the Pharisees. Should we forgive that offender seven times? And certainly seven times exceeds the demands of the Pharisees. So Peter desired to know whether such forgiveness here in verse 21 would be a demonstration of righteousness that satisfied Christ demands for forgiveness. Oh, Peter. We have to thank the Lord for Peter, because Peter gives us a lot of lessons from Jesus Christ to Peter that help us. When we come to Jesus' answer, it's going to be a long answer, it's going to be multiple part answer, but it's going to be an answer to Peter. So in verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In order to answer Peter's question concerning forgiveness and to help understand the requirements of Christ and forgiveness, Peter asks this question, and the Lord comes back with not seven, 70 times 7. Now, according to Jewish expressions, 70 times 7 meant and implied an innumerable time. Jesus is not saying to Peter and to his disciples, Peter, not 7 times, not 2 times, not 3 times, 70 times 7. He's not saying 490 times. So if you do the quick math, 490 times, oh, I'm supposed to forgive that one that's hurt me, offended me, or my loved ones, 490 times. That's not what Jesus is saying when he says 70 times 7. He is saying innumerable times, without number, you are to forgive. In order to explain this truth, Christ follows his answer with a parable. We pick up the parable in verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Notice the word servants there is plural. The king is going to bring in all his servants that owe him. And the first on the list is the one that owes him the most. It says, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So Jesus Christ begins to answer Peter with this parable, and he's saying there's a debt owed. This king has a debt owed to him. The servant in this parable owes the king 10,000 talents. A talent was a monetary measure of weight, and it was the largest unit of currency at that time, a talent. According to some in the story, if we go back to another story in the New Testament, we look at the one who possessed 5 talents. Remember him? The one who possessed 5 talents, the Bible scholars have said that one with 5 talents was a multimillionaire by today's standards. 5 talents. This servant owes the king 10,000 talents. In today's money, the amount owed by this servant is not really easy to determine. But estimates range from tens of millions to over $1 billion today. What this is talking about, if we go back and see what Jesus said about 70 times 7, an innumerable amount of times to forgive, we apply that same principle to this 10,000 talents. It's not important how much it is. It is unpayable. There is no way that this servant can make this much money in his lifetime. It's unbelievable how much money this is. The amount was unpayable by this man and his family. It was a debt owed that he could not pay. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, there's no way. It's a grand gesture. He's being submissive, he's being humble, but there's no way, even with extra time, he can pay this debt back. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Wow. Can you imagine going to the bank and you owe the bank hundreds of millions of dollars? I can't even fathom that. But you owe the bank why would a bank loan you that much money first? The questions some of the people I've read after on this study was like, why did the king let him build a debt up that high? It's not about that. It's about forgiveness. But can you imagine going to the bank and going into the bank manager and say, I'm sorry, I've got this debt. You know, you've called me in here and I can't pay it. I don't have the resources to pay it. But you give me enough time, I'm going to do my best. And the bank manager has a compassionate heart. He goes, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to clear the debt. You owe me nothing. Ooh. Think we'd go out of that bank happy? This man was shocked. It's not anywhere in his plan to have this debt forgiven. He doesn't ask for the debt to be forgiven. He asks for more time to pay it. Now the king has called his servant in to settle this account because the servant's not able to pay. The king commands that he's going to be thrown and his wife and his children be thrown into slavery to satisfy the debt. Well, the king had a thought about that. That's not logical thinking. because a slave is only worth 30 pieces of silver. So that's definitely not going to put an impact on this debt that he owes me. His enslavement and his family's enslavement could not satisfy the debt. Even though this servant has accumulated this staggering debt that could not be repaid in lifetimes of labor, he still asks for more time. The king was under no obligation to forgive him his debt. The king was under no obligation to extend more time to him. But he was merciful. He was compassionate. Therefore, he went beyond the servant's request and canceled the debt. So that when the servant leaves the king's presence, he is free from all obligations of this debt. It has been paid. Oh, what a blessing that would be. The debt owed. But then we got to understand the lesson here. Let's continue and see what happens to this servant. Verse 28. He's just had a multi-million dollar debt forgiven. One that he would never have had to been repaid. Never had the ability to repay. Verse 28, but the same servant, he went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Sounds familiar. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. There's a lesson here of forgiveness that we must take from this parable that Jesus is trying to teach to Peter to answer his question. Christ presents the servant who has experienced such unlimited mercy as the creditor now of a fellow servant who owes the forgiven servant 100 pence. That is equivalent today of a few dollars. A pence was a working person's wage of labor for a day. So he owed his fellow servant 100 days worth of labor. That is payable. That is doable. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take some sacrifice, but it's doable. After the forgiven servant demands immediate repayment, the debtor asks for additional time to promise to pay the debt. Sounds familiar? However, no mercy was shown. No mercy. No compassion was given. And he threw the debtor into prison until the debt could be paid. What a lack of mercy shown by the forgiven servant. And now that's conveyed to the king, the Lord, by the debtor's friends. And in response, the forgiven servant is summoned back before the king. And in response of the king and to this lack of mercy of this forgiven servant, we find the answer to Peter's question. Go back now to verse 32. And let us see the relevance of forgiveness. Then his Lord, this is the forgiven servant's Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Now I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad we had a guest preacher last Wednesday night as we wrapped up basketball camp here, and boys all over the place coming in here. It was a blessing to see those young boys and those two that got saved and the three that called into full-time ministry. What a blessing that was. But I was rejoicing that we had a guest preacher, because I had already studied this passage and I said, Lord, I need a week to get myself right with you before I preach this message. Because forgiveness is difficult for a Christian. Forgiveness is difficult for me. People have hurt me. People have wronged me. I have been offended. How can you not be when you're in the ministry? But even not being in the ministry, people have hurt my family and my children. How do you forgive? I praise the Lord we had a guest preacher, for he gave me 2 weeks to get right with him before I had to preach this message. Because what we see in this passage and where it ends, there is a relevance here of forgiveness that we need to apply to our lives. If not, we're not going to have a right relationship with God. The forgiven servant was responsible to forgive others in the same measure that he has had forgiveness extended to him. Now, we're the forgiven servant, and we're over here, and if we put a balance over there with the 10,000 talents that we owe the king, you know the balance, we're going to be way up in the ceiling somewhere, and that's going to be all the way through the floor. We can't pay it. There's no way we can pay that debt. And the king looks at the balances. He looks at the servant on his face, and he takes his hand and just wipes the balance clear. You owe me nothing. That's an enormous amount of mercy. That's an enormous amount of forgiveness. And the relevance of this passage of Scripture is saying, whatever has been given to you, you are responsible to give to others. Well, nobody owes him 10,000 talents, but somebody owes him 100 pence. And he is supposed to forgive that one that owes 100 pence and wipe it clear and go and find everybody else that owes him to forgive him. Since mercy was extended to this servant, that servant was responsible to extend mercy to others. Oh my, now we're going to hit home. We're sinners by nature. We have accumulated a debt that we cannot pay. Christ, in His mercy, provided redemption for all sinners. Not just a few, not a handful, not the best of the best, the cream of the crop. Well, He stepped down way low for me. We are sinners, and He provided the mercy to provide for our redemption. He didn't leave any on the balance. He wiped it clean. He paid the price of our liberty. And the one who seeks God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, He's merciful. He will fully forgive all debts. Remember our parable a few weeks ago? Oh, I've lived on this parable for weeks. You go back to the hidden treasure parable. I love that parable. Now, it's probably one of my favorite parables so far. I'll change my mind next week. But that's my favorite parable right now, that hidden treasure. Because Israel is that hidden treasure and it's hidden in the field. And he goes and he sells all that he has to not buy the treasure. He bought the field. We're in the field, folks. We're in the field. He didn't just redeem Israel. He redeemed the world. Praise the Lord for it. He bought the field. And he bought our liberty if we will come to him and say, Lord, I'm an old sinner. There's no way I'm going to get to heaven on my own. I can't work enough for it. I can't pay enough for it. I can't be good enough for it. You are the one that's paid the price. And I just surrender to you. My heart, my whole body, my all. I give to you if you'll forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life. Be merciful to me and forgive my debt. No one can measure one's indebtedness to God. We can't measure it. But the forgiveness of God has paid it all. Therefore, relevance back to the parable. Therefore, we should have no measure to the same forgiveness and mercy and compassion for others. No limit to the forgiveness that we grant to those who seek forgiveness from us, or even if they don't seek forgiveness from us. Do we insult the grace of God by withholding forgiveness? I'm not going to forgive them. You don't know what they've done to me. No, I don't. But I know God does. You don't know the extent of the hurt and the pain that's been caused. No, I don't. But a loving God does. And now you're probably sitting there, or those watching from home, you're getting angry. You're getting bitter. Perhaps you feel that you have no right to hold on, to give me this lesson on forgiveness. You don't know what's been done to me. I'm not going to let go of it. Because forgiveness is the last thing that I will do. Let me ask you, how great is the debt which God has forgiven you? You may say, well, I've never done anything near as bad as what's been done to me. Okay. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you. One that says, I'll never forgive. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's something you earn for that sin. There's something I earn for that sin. And it's total separation from God forever and ever and ever. No escape. But, I love that conjunction there, the gift of God. That's mercy. That's mercy. That's forgiveness if you want it. James 2:10, we don't usually go here, but James 2:10 in this type of scenario, but James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. You tell one lie, tell me one person that's never told a lie. One person has never had a wicked thought. One person has never put a carnal thing before God. We're all sinners. We've all offended God in some way. We're guilty. We're guilty in a court of law before God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Put your name there. For God so loved Brian that he gave. That's mercy. What did he give? Oh, the greatest gift. He gave His Son, His only begotten Son. That whosoever, again, put your name there, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. That's mercy. We are not owed that. We are not due that by God, but He extends it freely. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through verse 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He extended mercy when we were ungodly. Not that we're much more godly today, but when we were sinners in our world of sin and in our life of sin and all about me and my sin, He died for me. And He died for you. He extended mercy. Only God has a right to ask us to forgive. Because only God knows what it's like to forgive a debt that is too large to repay. And God is asking us to forgive. You know the hymn "At the Cross" by Isaac Watts? Let me read you the verses. We sing these hymns, probably most of us from memory now, and we're not even cognizant of the words we're saying sometimes. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? Was it for crimes that I have done He groaned upon the tree? I say yes. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in when Christ the mighty Maker died for man, the creature's sin. Thus might I hide my blushing face while His dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes to tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Oh, what a beautiful hymn. We have this dear servant that's been forgiven a debt that he could not pay. And he would not extend the mercy to another that owed him a debt that was payable. And now he stands as summoned before the king. And the king has said, you should have had the same compassion that I extended you. And come to verse 34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You cannot, let me emphasize, you cannot lose your salvation. Amen. Once you're saved, you are always saved. Now I can't see your heart. The pastor can't see your heart. But God can. So if you've truly accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not going to hell.
Amen.
So this passage means something else. So what is the meaning and the relevance of this forgiveness parable that we're seeing that Jesus Christ is answering Peter's question on? There's two
important lessons here in these two verses. Two truths that we need to take away from these two verses that we should never forget. First, for a believer who's been forgiven by God, your slate's been clean. The refusal of forgiveness toward another is at the peak of hypocrisy. If you've been forgiven this debt that you cannot repay, and you choose not to forgive someone who owes you a debt they could repay, that's hypocrisy, folks.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but our Christian circles are full of it. Our churches are full of that type of hypocrisy. I would go so far as to say, I, at times, is full of that type of hypocrisy. We need to forgive as we have been forgiven. That day of salvation for me was back in 1986, October 6, 1986. It's a long ways back there. A lot of miles down the road, and people have hurt, people have been offended, or people have offended me, people have hurt me, people have hurt my loved ones, people, blah, 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 blah. Go back here to October 6th or whatever your date was. How much were you forgiven? Everything. Go back over here into that one that's offended you, to hurt you and to hurt your loved ones, and look back and go, I can forgive too. I can extend mercy too. I can extend compassion too. Since each one of us has been the recipient, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have been the recipient of maximum mercy, endless grace, which we can never hope to repay. The least we can do is forgive others. Secondly, another truth from these two verses. Believers who refuse to forgive find themselves in a prison of unforgiveness, in a prison of constant inner turmoil. Let me go further and say you're tormented by anger. You're tormented by bitterness. You're tormented by disappointment. You're tormented by depression. You're tormented by broken relationships. You're tormented by countless other emotional and maybe even mental troubles if you choose not to forgive others. This will also affect the relationship this individual can have with their God. Prayers will go unanswered. The comfort of the Holy Spirit and the assurance of His presence seems diminished in your life. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, but it can feel diminished. The joy is gone. The peace. This discipline of a loving Heavenly Father will fall on those who refuse to extend mercy and forgiveness to others. God disciplines those children who refuse to forgive. I don't want to be in that boat. And I know you don't either. We need to learn to extend forgiveness like we have had extended to us. If you didn't hear anything else tonight, listen to this statement. The saddest thing about those who suffer in a prison of unforgiveness is that they hold the key to their own cell. You hold the key to the cell that you're locked in. With the help of the Holy Spirit, forgiveness can be extended and you can be free. In the parable
The unforgiving servant has been turned over to those to torture him until his debt is paid. This is where the story changes. God does not hold our past over us. Praise His holy name. God does not hold our past over us. But when we're disobedient and refuse to forgive, God disciplines. God chastens. Most of us in here have been in school at a time when they still paddled. My seventh grade principal had a paddle. He had a name for it. I don't remember the name nowadays. But he had a name for it, and it was legend in our school. And you did not want to go see Principal Widenhouse. Because his paddle, and you know how our minds exaggerate things now, the fish we caught, the miles we had to walk to school barefooted and in the snow. Yeah. This paddle, and I'm trying not to exaggerate, but this paddle was about this big. And part of that's the handle, because he had a baseball grip type handle, and it had holes in it, different size holes. I was a bad seventh grader. I didn't know Jesus. I was a bad seventh grader. I went to see Mr. Widenhouse several times. And you think after the first time you get the understanding that you don't want to go back to Mr. Widenhouse's office. I was hard-headed. I met that paddle of correction multiple times. God's paddle, it hurts more. God's paddle is not always a physical pain. Emotional, inner turmoil. Oh, just give it to the Lord. Who have you not forgiven? Who are you withholding mercy from? Is it a family member? Is it a spouse? Is it a mother or a father? Is it a brother or a sister? Is it an ex-husband or an ex-wife? Is it a mother-in-law or a father-in-law? Perhaps you need to forgive a former or a current boss. A co-worker or employee who has done you wrong. Lied about some work that you did and they take the credit for it. Maybe a pastor, a preacher, a coach, a teacher, a mentor, someone you looked up to. What if the person who hurt you has died? Doesn't matter. Bring the issue to the Lord and release that person's power over you. Extend forgiveness even towards those who do not or will not or cannot ask for it. We could say so many things here. Let's let the Bible do the talking. I love this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have verse 32 circled, underlined, highlighted, something in your Bible, you need to. If you're used to writing in your Bible. But verse 31 says in Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another,
This isn't this relationship. This is this relationship. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. What's that next word? Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You can't argue with God. You can try. He's going to win. You're going to lose every time. We're over here with a debt we cannot pay. No hope to pay it. We come to Him as our, asking Him to be our Savior. He forgives. Unlimited mercy. Limitless grace. And we have dear so-and-so, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, preacher so-and-so, ma so-and-so, pa so-and-so, that we will not forgive. You're going to be in inner prison, in turmoil, anger, bitterness. Go back to Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Look at the amount of forgiveness that's been given you and me. Can we not forgive others the same? Go back one more time to our text in Matthew 18. And remember, this is a question of Peter. In verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Peter says, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive this offender? Seven times? Is that extensive enough? No. How much, Peter, have you been forgiven? Extend that same forgiveness to others. Not 70 times seven, not 490 times, innumerable times. Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed.